Good afternoon, it's 4:30 and 41 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Jonathan Burton.
So the next thing will be is to compile information that's being collected over here and prioritize that.
A strategic plan meeting was held in Moorhead yesterday.
Officials are gearing up for the February 25th special election.
A special speaker is coming to Moorhead State this week.
Brady industry officials appeared before state lawmakers today.
Highway fatalities were up in 2019.
Mitch McConnell and Rand Paul are pushing for new Army headquarters at Fort Knox.
Southeast Kentucky residents are cleaning up after weekend flooding.
In sports, Round County boys welcome Ashland Blazer tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly cloudy skies tonight with a low around 32. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
A meeting for public input on the developing economic strategic plan for Moorhead and Rowan County was held at the Moorhead Conference Center yesterday. Hosted by the Moorhead-Rowan County Chamber of Commerce, the meeting also had representatives on hand from the consulting firm Thomas P. Miller & Associates, who conducted a survey to help formulate the plan last year. Both the survey and the meeting were aimed at getting area residents' opinion on things such as health and wellness, environmental sustainability, and livability in Rowan County. Jason Sloan is the executive director and CEO of the Moorhead-Rowan County Chamber of Commerce. He says the information they receive will help to further fine-tune the strategic plan for the area over the next 15 to 20 years.
What we set forth from the very beginning, as I was guiding this group, was that we wanted a plan that gave us action steps in it. We didn't want just a document. We wanted something that clearly said, okay, these are your potential goals, and this is where you need to be looking at for future growth and opportunity, and then wrap your goals in and around that. And that's where we're looking at going with this from this information that's being gathered today.
More information on the strategic plan and the steering committee is available at movingforwardrowan.com.
Officials in Moorhead are gearing up for a special election on February 25th. Residents of Elliott, Lewis, and Rowan counties will be choosing a replacement for Rocky Adkins, who served in the 99th House District for decades before being appointed as a senior advisor to Governor Andy Beshear. Rowan County Clerk Elwood Cottle Jr. says officials are expecting a 10% voter turnout in all three counties.
They're projecting a low turnout, but you know, I mean, both candidates are from here, so I expect, you know, our turnout to be a little higher. That's just kind of me saying that, but we'll see, you know, when time comes if that's true or not.
Democrat Bill Redwine and Republican Richard White are both vying for the House seat. The election will cost Rowan County approximately $35,000.
During Black History Month, Moorhead State University's Office of Military Initiatives will host a guest lecturer on leadership. Isaiah Davis currently serves as a senior director of distribution operations for Granger and as the president for the company's African American Business Resource Group, helping to shape diversity and inclusion strategy within the organization. Dr. Silas Session is a visiting assistant professor and director of military initiatives at MSU. He says Davis is also an Army veteran.
And he's coming to not only talk a little bit about Black history, but to show what he has done through his experience from leadership learning from the military through college ROTC. Also, he's going to show the leadership, I guess, lessons he's learned traversing through different companies throughout the country. He's been with Target. He's obviously at Granger now, and he's did different positions in different places.
The event will be held at 4 p.m. on Thursday, February 13th, in ballrooms A and B of the Adrian Doran University Center. The event is free and open to the public.
Brady Industries officials appeared before the Senate Appropriations and Revenue Committee today, after a recent management shakeup raised concerns about the project's viability. Brady executives expressed confidence that the project will become a reality, along with the 1,500 construction jobs and more than 650 full-time jobs once the plant starts production. During his term, former Governor Matt Bevin persuaded lawmakers to approve a $15 million state investment in the project. Committee members say they are rooting for Brady to succeed, but also asked pointed questions about the company's finances. In response, new CEO Tom Maldrowski said the company has $65 million on hand and commitments for $200 million in financing.
As you know from news reports, we have made some leadership changes. The board made these changes because they want to see more progress faster. The board is eager, like you, to get this project built.
The company still needs to raise $500 million, which Modrowski hopes to do so by the year's end.
A tax hike aimed at reducing youth vaping got the green light from a Kentucky House committee. The legislation proposed by Louisville Republican Representative Jerry Miller would place an excise tax of 25% on vaping products, putting them in line with traditional cigarettes. Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky CEO Ben Chandler argued that higher price point will prevent kids from buying vape products.
Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky believes that an excise tax of 25% of the wholesale price is close enough to the current tax on cigarettes and would lead to a substantial enough price increase to create a considerable reduction in youth vaping.
Jason Underwood of the Kentucky Smoke-Free Association argued against the bill, saying a vape tax hike drives up the purchase of traditional smoking products. The measure now moves to the full House for consideration.
Two criminal justice bills are headed to the Kentucky Senate after getting approval by House lawmakers. One would allow for automatic expungement of a person's record after acquittals and dismissals. It's supported by Republican Representative Rob Rothenberger of Shelbyville.
This is an economic development tool for us. So many people out there are applying for jobs, and when they go, something pops up on the record that they may or may not know that was there, and all of a sudden they're disqualified from a job. Let's put people back to work. Let's give them this tool to expunge and get their life back together.
The House also passed a bill that would cut down on the time a person is on probation based on the completion of certain education, skills training, or substance abuse treatment.
Preliminary numbers from the State Transportation Cabinet show highway fatalities inched up in 2019. But as WUKY's Josh James reports, the data won't be finalized until April.
The state's Office of Highway Safety says crashes on Kentucky roadways took 734 lives last year, 10 more than in 2018. The good news, fatalities are down so far this year, with 17 fewer than this time in 2019. Transportation Cabinet Secretary Jim Gray said in a release that the governor's 2020 recommended highway plan calls for $100 million in highway safety spending and 100 miles of new guardrail across the state. The Highway Safety Office is also boosting driving safety campaigns like Buckle Up, Phone Down, law enforcement blitzes, and free ride-sharing promotions during holidays. A final report on 2019 highway fatalities will be released in April. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Radio Eye, Kentucky's statewide daily reading service for the blind and visually impaired. Radio Eye's reading service offers newspapers, magazines, health materials, and grocery ads for independent living to people who are blind, visually impaired, or any disability that makes reading difficult or impossible. Radios are available to qualified applicants. More information is available by calling 859-422-6390 or online at radioeye.org.
The Lexington Fire Department awarded one of its highest honors to a firefighter who saved two lives during last year's gas line explosion in Lincoln County. WMKY's Shamari Mosley has the story.
Several structures were destroyed and one woman was killed in the August explosion. Colby Reek, a Lexington firefighter, was off duty at the time. When he arrived to the scene, he heard about someone trapped in their home. Reek drove into the neighborhood. He started to turn away as the heat intensified, but then he saw a man who had fallen on his own deck. Reek grabbed the man and pushed him into his car. The man said his wife was inside the home. According to LEX-18, Reek went in, found the woman, and dragged her out. He then drove the couple to awaiting paramedics who took them to the hospital. For his actions, the Lexington Fire Department awarded Reek the Firefighter's Cross in recognition of an act of heroism, bravery, and stamina in the face of extreme conditions. This is the second highest award from the department. For WMKY News, I'm Shamari Mosley.
Kentucky Senators Mitch McConnell and Rand Paul, as well as U.S. Representative Brett Guthrie, are urging the Army to build its new headquarters at Fort Knox. The group sent a letter to the Army stating that Fort Knox has the capacity to accommodate the necessary headquarters complex and support facilities without the need for new military construction. According to WLKY, officials near Fort Knox, such as Radcliffe Mayor J.J. Duval, say that building the headquarters there would significantly benefit the surrounding area.
The regional impact here is about $2.6 billion economic impact that we see coming off the installation. So any opportunities that we can grow that number only helps not only Radcliffe, but the whole area. We hope that this is an opportunity that we will see happen. And of course, the economic impact will be huge for our community.
The Army will make a decision soon and could activate the new headquarters by October.
Southeastern Kentucky residents are cleaning up after flood damage. In some of the worst flooding in decades, several people had to be rescued as houses and land filled with water. According to WYMT, a state of emergency was declared in more than half a dozen counties while the Cumberland River spilled over its banks, causing damage in Whitley and Knox counties. Emelina Hubbard of Barberville spent the weekend helping flood victims in Knox County. She says it's good to lend a helping hand.
You never know when you're going to need some help, whether it be a flood or house fire or anything. They'll have all that cleaning to do and maybe not even be able to save their stuff. People that are going to be devastated, you know, they're going to have to start from the floor up.
The governor declared a state of emergency in more than half a dozen counties over the weekend.
Health officials in Lexington confirmed this morning that the city recorded its third flu-related death of the season and the first child victim. WMKY's Wyatt Milton has the story.
Kevin Hall, spokesman for the Lexington Fayette County Health Department, said the victim was, quote, a child younger than 12 months old. The previous victims were described as older than 50 with underlying health issues. According to LEX-18, medical privacy laws prevent further identification of the victim. Hall stressed the importance of getting a flu shot, especially for vulnerable populations such as children, the elderly, or people with medical conditions. Flu shots are available at most public health departments without an appointment. For WMKY News, I'm Wyatt Melton reporting.
A mudslide closed a road in Pike County Monday night. The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet posted on Facebook that the mudslide is on KY-292 between US 119 and the ARH Hospital in South Williamson. Transportation officials say the slide is still moving and crews stayed at the site all night. Crews cannot clean up the slide until it stops moving. Traffic cannot get through to the hospital from US 19 at the intersection on the Kentucky side of the State Line Bridge. Transportation officials say motorists will have to go into West Virginia and come back onto Route 292.
Police are investigating two shootings in Lexington last night that have left one juvenile victim dead and another with life-threatening injuries. One happened on Florence Avenue. The other happened on Nancy Hanks Road when a shooter fired into an apartment. WKYT reports that authorities have not identified the victims and have released no information on possible suspects for either shooting. Both investigations are still ongoing.
Lexington police are conducting a homicide investigation after a woman was found dead Monday morning. Officers were called to the 2200 block of Alexandria Drive around 10 a.m., where police say they witnessed suspicious activity. Sergeant Donald Gordon spoke with WKYT about the investigation.
It's an active right now investigation. We're still collecting evidence, and our detectives, they'll be working around the clock to try to come up with an answer.
Authorities are waiting on autopsy results before releasing the victim's name and cause of death. Those with information about this case are encouraged to call Lexington Police at 859-258-3600 or anonymously through Bluegrass Crime Stoppers at 859-253-2020. Taking a look at your region's weather, tonight we have mostly cloudy with a low around 34. Wednesday, a 100% chance of showers, high near 50. Wednesday night, 100% chance of showers with some heavy rain, temperature rising to around 52. Thursday, 20% chance of isolated showers, cloudy with a temperature falling to around 37. Thursday night, a chance of flurries, cloudy with a low around 20. Friday, a chance of flurries, cloudy then gradual clearing with a high near 28. Friday, mostly clear with a low around 18.
Taking a look at some temperatures around the region, it's 40 degrees in Lexington, Winchester, and Mount Sterling, 42 in Ashland and Grayson, and in Inez, and here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University, it's 41 degrees. For over 40 years, Christian Social Services in Morehead has been providing assistance to those in need in Rowan County. On our feature segment today, WMKY's Tanner Boyd takes a look at one way that tradition stays alive today.
Whether it be assistance with utilities, eyeglasses, medicine, or form completion, Christian Social Services has been aiding those in need in Rowan County since 1973. However, perhaps one of the lesser-known means of assistance CSS provides is the building of handicap ramps at homes in need.
Well, to start with, there's a huge need in our community, and ramps are very expensive to build, so it's important for us at Christian Social Services to, whenever we can, to help people get those built.
That's Beverly Gillum, the executive director at Christian Social Services. When discussing the ramp building project CSS assists with, Gillum says it's been a decades-long endeavor.
And luckily, we've been blessed to have a relationship with three different churches who feel it's their mission to help build ramps for people in need. So we've worked with them, some of them, for quite a long while.
And Gillum says these churches do quite a bit of traveling in order to get the ramps built.
The newest church that we're working with is Trinity Baptist of Fairview, and they're from North Carolina. And they're a brand new group. They just started coming last month in December, and they built seven ramps for us. And then we have another group who's coming in April or May, and they're St. Paul Catholic Church, and they're from Valparaiso, Indiana. And they've actually been coming 45 years doing this.
The last church also has a long history of building ramps in the community, and they've already scheduled their next trip.
And then the third group, they're coming back this year, June 14th through 19th, and they're from St. Elizabeth Catholic Church in Tecumseh, Michigan, and they've been coming for a lot of years as well.
If you or someone you know is in need of a ramp for their home, Gillum says there are some qualifications that need to be met, but possibly the most important part of the process is making the initial contact with CSS.
Okay, first of all, they need to be a resident of Rowan County, and they need to have limited income that they can't afford to have a ramp built on their own. And if they meet those guidelines, then they just need to give me a call, Bev Gillum, here at Christian Social Services.
And while Christian Social Services is dedicated to serving the community, they are always in need of assistance as well. Gillum says there are a number of ways someone can help.
Well, we can always use volunteers here at our shop, at our store. Always seek monetary donations, donations for a thrift store, different things like that. We also take donations of cars, you know, things like that. Lots of times people leave us things in their wheels and different things like that. All kinds of different avenues to help us out with our fundraising.
To learn more about the organization or how to volunteer or to receive assistance, go online to christiansocialservices.org or call 606-784-5329. For WMKY News, I'm Tanner Boyd reporting.
It's 449 and 40 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Jonathan Burton and Cody Robinson, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this dreary Tuesday afternoon. Ty Martin has a look at sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, providing a curbside recycling service to residents of Morehead and Rowan County. residential pickup available every Sunday. Pre-sorting the recycled materials is not required. Accepting number 1 and 2 plastic, cardboard, paper, electronics, metal, and grocery bags. Materials may be placed in any container, placed at curbside for pickup and visible from street. More information by calling 784-1250.
The Round County boys basketball team will face off with the undefeated Ashland Blazer tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Todd Martin. The Vikings are looking for their 8th win in a row, holding on to a 19-6 record, while the Tomcats have 23 straight wins. Round head coach Sean Thacker says the Tomcats are deserving of their ranking in the state.
They've played a good schedule as well, and they've had some close games, but they found ways to win all of those, and a lot of credit goes to Coach Mays and his staff on doing a great job. You know, we look forward to the opportunity to play another high-quality basketball team, because that's where we think we got a pretty good team. We're striving to be a top 25 team. I think the RPI has us at 31 right now, so, you know, we're looking forward to it.
Tip-off tonight in Moorhead is set for 7:30 p.m. Taking a look at other 16th region basketball games tonight. In girls action, Boyd County heads to Ashland Blazer. West Carter hosts Elliott County. Rose Hill Christian hosts Menifee County. Morgan County heads to Wolf County. And Greenup County hosts Grace Christian out of Huntington, West Virginia. In boys action, Bath County hosts Fairview. Greenup County heads to Elliott County. Raceland hosts East Carter. Lewis County heads to Fleming County. Menifee County hosts Prestonsburg. Morgan County goes on the road to McGoffin County. Rose Hill Christian heads to Portsmouth, Ohio to take on Notre Dame. Number 12, Kentucky heads to Nashville tonight to take on Vanderbilt. The Cats sit in a three-way tie with LSU and Auburn atop the SEC standings at 8-2, while the Commodores are last in the conference with a 1-9 mark. UK assistant coach Joel Justice says stopping Vandy's outside shooting is a major point of emphasis.
They've got the ability to space the floor. They've got great guard play, you know, in Saban Lee and Scottie Pippen Jr. that can, you know, get by your initial line of defense, which they did against us here a little bit. When they get paint touches, you have to collapse, and that leaves shooters open. And, you know, I think a big thing when you play teams like that is you just can't give them early open looks.
Kentucky won the previous matchup with Vanderbilt 71-92 at Rupp Arena on January 29th. Tip-off tonight in Nashville is set for 7 p.m. Morehead State men's and women's golf programs garnered 3rd and 7th place rankings, respectively, in the 2020 Ohio Valley Conference preseason poll released Monday. WMKY's Joe Lewis has more.
For the men, a 3rd place selection marks the program's highest preseason selection in the history of the poll that dates back to 2010. The prediction also comes with another first for the program, the first preseason first place vote in team history. Overall, the Eagles received 84 points in the poll. Morehead State men's golf enters the spring portion of its schedule this week, competing at the George Washington President's Day match play event in Weston, Florida. The Eagles entered the event following the program's most successful fall schedule in 20 seasons, having claimed 5 top 4 finishes in 5 events during the fall, including a win at the NKU Fall Classic. On the women's side, the Eagles ranked 7th in the preseason poll while receiving 25 total votes. Morehead State Women's Golf continues the spring portion of its schedule later this month, competing at the Oyster Shuck Match Play event in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. The Eagles began the spring with a strong showing at the Mid-American Match Play Challenge, going 3-1 during the tournament and claiming a 3rd place finish. For WMKY Sports, I'm Joe Lewis.
Morehead State women's basketball guard Ariel Kirkwood has been named the Ohio Valley Conference Freshman of the Week. She tallied averages of 13.5 points, 7.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists, and 2.5 blocks during the Eagles' OVC games at SIU Edwardsville in Eastern Illinois last week. For Kirkwood, this is her second OVC Freshman of the Week honor after being recognized on December 10th. During her freshman campaign, the 6-foot Milwaukee native has started in 24 games and is averaging 10.3 points, 8.6 rebounds, and 2.5 blocks per game. Kirkwood's team best rebound and block shot averages each rank 2nd in the OVC. Morehead State and Kirkwood return to action on Thursday against Eastern Kentucky. The Eagles will host the rival Colonels at Johnson Arena with tip-off slated for 5 p.m. And finally in sports this afternoon, for the first time, Eastern Kentucky University's Michael Moreno has been chosen as the OVC Freshman Player of the Week. He scored 17.5 points per game and grabbed 9 rebounds per game, shooting 69% from the field, 56% from three-point range, and 80% free throw range. He leads all OVC freshmen in rebounding during league play at 7.1 per game. According to WKYT, Moreno is now averaging 8.4 points and 6 rebounds per game for the Colonels. The Colonels stand at 12-13 on the year and 9-3 in the OVC. They will travel to play Morehead State on Thursday night at 7 p.m. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Tom Martin.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's and women's basketball hosts Eastern Kentucky University on Thursday. The women's game starts at 5 p.m. and the men tip off at 7 p.m. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ both rose marginally, eking out fresh record closing highs as investors digested testimony from the top U.S. central banking official and assessed the potential economic impact of the coronavirus. And at the close, the Dow Industrials finished with a loss of about a half a point at 29,276.34. The S&P 500 was up 5.66 at 3357.75, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 10.55 at 9638.94. And again, those are all-time closing record highs for the S&P 500 and NASDAQ. Earnings were somewhat in focus today, as Under Armour, a major retailer, had a poor earnings report, and the stock paid the price with a drop of 18%. A judge approved the T-Mobile and Sprint merger, according to the New York Times, and Sprint was up 70% today, and this also had a really great effect on the Japanese company SoftBank, which was up over $5 a share, as SoftBank has a very large holding of Sprint stock. In testimony today on Capitol Hill, Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell, in front of the House Financial Services Committee, said that the central bank is, quote, closely monitoring the coronavirus situation for a potential hit to China and the global economy. During the Q&A part of the testimony, Powell noted it is too early to say how the coronavirus will ultimately impact the U.S. economy. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.7% at $50 a barrel. Gold was down 0.5% at $1,571.70 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a pretty good day, with the Stock 600 index up almost 1%. In the Far East, markets were mixed, with the Nikkei down 0.6%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 1.25%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Fifth Third Bank up 11 cents at $29.51, Dollar General up 50 cents at $156.09, UPS up $1.81 at $104.88, Marathon Petroleum up $1.69 at $56.76, and Anthem was up $3.36 to finish at $279.91. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Support for MSPR comes from Papa John's Pizza in the Patrick Center, Moorhead. Papa John's made-to-order specialty pizzas include the Meats, the Works, Tuscan 6 Cheese, and many more. Side items include garlic parmesan breadsticks, cheese sticks, chicken wings, and poppers. Desserts include chocolate chip cookie and double chocolate chip brownie. For pickup and delivery in Moorhead and Round County, Papa John's can be reached at 784-3551 and online at papajohns.com.
Taking another look at your region's weather. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 34. Wednesday, 100% chance of showers, high near 50. Wednesday night, 100% chance of showers with heavy rain, temperature rising to around 52. Thursday, 20% chance of isolated showers, cloudy with a temperature falling to around 37. Thursday night, a chance of flurries, cloudy with a low around 20. Friday, a chance of flurries before, cloudy, then gradual clearing with a high near 28.
And just a quick reminder, the Moorhead chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness Support Group will meet at 6 p.m. on this evening, actually, at the Round County Public Library. Individuals with mental illness or family and friends with mental illness are welcome to attend. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Cody Robinson, Nacogdoches Miller, Lori Likens, Shamari Mosley, Rachel Turner, and Wyatt Melton. WUKY's Josh James, KNN's Paul Miles, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, And our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Tanner Boyd. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jonathan Burton and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.